Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, and on this edition of the Intelligent Design the Future podcast, we're going to discuss some of the scientific evidence for intelligent design, particularly as I recounted it in response to questions recently submitted to us by students asking for help. Apparently, a university biology professor has challenged his class to, quote, find a fact, unquote, meaning observations or data that supports intelligent design or evolution. My response, which I've now sent to a few of the students in the class, has been, where to begin? On this podcast, I'll read my reply to these students with names and quotes changed or left out to protect the innocent. Dear Blank, greetings and thanks for your email. I think that someone else from your class already emailed me with the same question. According to the document you sent me, your professor stated the following, quote, to qualify as a theory, ID must meet the following criteria. 1. It must be supported by a large amount of data, observations in the physical world, and it must have a broad application to explain a wide range of data. 2. It must provide a framework that allows the development of novel hypotheses, questions about nature, unquote. He then challenged you to, quote, find a fact, observation, data that supports, unquote, intelligent design. My response is where to begin. Before we get into that, let's address your comments that you are struggling to clearly understand the proper definition of theories and hypotheses. First, I appreciate the difficulties that you're having with the definitions of terms like theory. I agree with your professor's definitions of fact and hypothesis, and I partly agree with your professor's definition of theory. For some details on these questions, I recommend that you read an article I wrote on this topic at discovery.org titled Is Evolution a Theory or Fact, or Is This Just a Trivial Game of Semantics? Here I explain that in practice, scientists use different definitions for terms like theory, thus creating confusion. Here's a point I make in the article, modified to help answer your present concerns. Theory can have multiple definitions. When I look up theory in my 1996 edition of Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary of the English Language, or what I'll abbreviate as WOODL, the word theory has 7 or 8 different entries. Here they are. 1. A coherent group of general propositions used as principles of explanation for a class of phenomena, Einstein's theory of relativity. 2. A proposed explanation whose status is still conjectural, in contrast to well-established propositions that are regarded as reporting matters of actual fact. 3. Math, a body of principles, theorems, or the like, belonging to one subject, number theory. 4. The branch of science or art that deals with its principles or methods as distinguished from its practice, music theory. 5. A particular conception or view of something to be done or the method of doing it, a system of rules or principles. 6. Contemplation or speculation. 7. Guess or conjecture. Well, according to entry number 2, theory can mean, quote, a proposed explanation whose status is still conjectural in contrast to well-established propositions that are regarded as reporting matters of actual fact, unquote. Similarly, entries 6 and 7 define theory as contemplation or speculation or guess or conjecture. This is what I'll call the soft definition of theory. The upshot of the soft definition of theory is that evolutionists who imply that the term theory can never mean conjecture or guess are in fact wrong, because theory can in fact mean conjecture or guess. On the other hand, if you're a Darwin skeptic who thinks that theory necessarily means conjecture or guess, and can never mean a verified scientific explanation, then you're also wrong. After listing these entries, my 1996 edition of WOODL elaborates on the proper usage of the word theory within the scientific community, stating, quote, theory hypotheses are used in non-technical contexts to mean untested idea or opinion. The theory in technical use is a more or less verified or established explanation accounting for known facts or phenomena, the theory of relativity. A hypothesis is a conjecture put forth as a possible explanation of phenomena or relations, which serve as a basis of argument and experimentation to reach the truth. This idea is only a hypothesis. Unquote. Within technical scientific discussions, the word theory typically is understood to mean a more or less verified or established explanation. We'll call this the hard definition of theory. But is the hard definition of theory the only way that scientists use the word theory? When a Darwin skeptic says evolution is a theory, not a fact, which by the way is not something that I recommend that you argue, evolutionists often pounce and assert that the authoritative scientists never use the word theory to mean conjecture or guess. For example, Kent Miller's 2007 edition of his textbook, Biology, bluffs by implying that there is a united front and complete conformity within the scientific community regarding the proper usage of theory. Miller's textbook states, quote, "In science, the word theory applies to a well-tested explanation that unifies a broad range of observations," unquote. Such claims of unanimity within the scientific community are not correct. While scientists do typically imply the hard definition of theory when they use the word theory, they don't always use it in that sense. In fact, if scientists always meant the hard definition of theory, then scientists would virtually never use the phrase new theory, because an idea does not attain the status of a theory until it becomes well-established and verified, withstanding many tests until it is no longer, quote, "a proposed explanation whose status is still conjectural," unquote. Yet a quick search of PubMed for the phrase new theory reveals dozens and dozens of hits from the technical scientific literature where scientists offered a proposed explanation whose status is still conjectural, but call that explanation a theory. You can read my article, "Is Evolution a Theory or Fact, or Is This Just a Trivial Game of Semantics?" at discovery.org for more examples of where scientists use the term theory in the soft sense. The truth is that scientists can use both the soft or hard definitions of theory when they use that term. Regardless, this is a semantic debate, and if we accept your professor's hard definition of theory as the only proper usage of theory, then ID most definitely does constitute a theory, which is, quote, "supported by a large amount of data, observations in the physical world," unquote, and it does, quote, "have a broad application to explain a wide range of physical phenomena," unquote, and provides, quote, "a framework that allows the development of novel hypotheses." So let's now return to how intelligent design is a theory under your professor's definition. There are innumerable data and observations of the physical world that support intelligent design from a wide variety of fields. For me, the most compelling evidence in biology is the presence of highly complex and specified information in the genome, where specified and complex information is known to be a reliable indicator of design. A more comprehensive discussion of this evidence and how ID provides a framework for developing novel hypotheses is found in my article, "The Positive Case for Design." To summarize that paper, ID theorists start by observing how intelligent agents act when they design things. Some of their observations show that 1. Intelligent agents think with an end goal in mind, allowing them to solve complex problems by taking many parts and arranging them in intricate patterns that perform a specific function, i.e. complex and specified information. 2. Intelligent agents can rapidly infuse large amounts of information into systems. 3. Intelligent agents reuse functional components that work over and over in different systems, i.e. wheels for cars and airplanes. 4. Intelligent agents typically create functional things. Keeping our numbering straight, we can use those observations to generate hypotheses based upon testable predictions in a variety of different fields. Hypothesis and prediction 1. Natural structures will be found that contain many parts arranged in intricate patterns that perform a specific functions. 2. Forms containing large amounts of novel information will appear in the fossil record suddenly and without similar precursors. 3. Convergence will occur routinely. That is, genes and other functional parts will be reused in different and unrelated organisms. 4. Much so-called junk DNA will turn out to perform valuable functions. Thus, intelligent design can predict and explain a broad range of observations in many scientific fields. Below is a discussion of some of the fields where ID provides a framework for predicting, understanding, and explaining data from a wide variety of scientific fields. 1. Biochemistry, where ID explains and predicts the presence of high levels of complex and specified information in proteins and DNA. 2. Genetics, where ID predicts and explains function for so-called junk DNA, while neo-Darwinism stifles such research. 3. Systematics, where ID explains why there are similarities between living species, including examples of extreme genetic convergence that severely conflict with conventional evolutionary phylogenies. 4. Cell biology, where ID explains why the cell resembles design structures rather than accidental byproducts of neo-Darwinian evolution, allowing scientists to better understand the workings of molecular machines. 5. Systems biology, where ID encourages biologists to look at various biological systems as integrated components of larger systems that are designed to work together in top-down coordinated fashions, which is what biologists are finding is the case in nature. 6. Animal biology, where ID predicts function for allegedly vestigial organs, structures, or systems, whereas evolution has made many faulty predictions. Note that your professor says that the appendix, quote, "does not seem to have any purpose," unquote, and is, quote, "useless," unquote, but he's mistaken. In fact, there is extensive evidence of immunofunction for the appendix. In fact, your professor says you can't use the appendix as evidence in your paper, but you don't want to use the appendix as evidence for evolution because it has been demonstrated to not be a, quote, useless or, quote, vestigial organ. And your professor is uncritically promoting Darwinian urban legends, providing you with an object lesson for how Darwinian assumptions and predictions can stifle scientific progress. 7. Bioinformatics, where ID explains the presence of new layers of information and functional language embedded in the genetic codes, as well as other codes within biology. 8. Information theory, where ID encourages scientists to understand where intelligent causes are superior to natural causes in producing certain types of information. 9. Paleontology, where ID's prediction of irreducible complexity in biological systems explains paleontological patterns such as the abrupt appearance of biological life forms, punctuated change, and stasis throughout the history of life. 10. Physics and cosmology, where ID encourages scientists to investigate and discover more instances of fine-tuning of the laws of physics and properties of our universe that uniquely allow for the existence of advanced forms of life. In my opinion, ID explains quite a broad range of data and provides us with a powerful framework for predicting and understanding data from a variety of different fields. Your professor also stated that the fact, quote, can be any observation in biology that is substantiated by publication in a scientific journal, unquote. In this regard, a fully referenced version of this reply with documenting citations to articles from the peer-reviewed scientific literature can be found at evolutionnews.org. I'm Casey Luskin. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.